listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we are. We meet again. It is Fox Football Sunday, week three of your National Football League season. There's no derailing it. There's no curtailing it. No. We're getting after it live and in living color here from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Hi, I'm Mike Harmon. Alongside me, the man, the legend, the myth,
I guess we could say all pro.
All today. Pro?
Why not?
All American?
I mean, I love all American.
We got all that flowing as football comes back in earnest. The rest of the college slate will come together. It's my guy, LeVar Arrington. You find him on Twitter at LeVar Arrington. Find him on Instagram at King of the Mammals. Yeah. What's going on, brother? How are you?
I'm great, man. I'm feeling really, really good. Really strong.
You're leaning out. You come leaning in all out. Looking yoked, and you got me inspired that I need to go run through a wall or something.
No, don't do it.
Or at least to, you know, try to lift something that it's attached to the wall.
Let's just own these microphones that are in front of our faces as if we were like Lee Haney or you know,
you
one
busted
of those
out
guys.
A Lee Haney reference. There
Flex
you go.
Wheeler or somebody like
that. Yeah, well, you know, that was my thing with my dad. That was part of the growing up. We always had the Muscle and Fitness was okay. The subscription.
I like it.
Pumping Iron was a regular
Pumping
viewing experience.
Island.
And on the day of the contest, I will be his father. We'll see what happens today. Full
like
slate
it.
Of games. Obviously, the Monday night game has everybody's attention.
Oh, of course.
We had craziness in college football, as expected,
yes,
I think.
Yes, we did.
Right? A lot of turnover. And
I will say I did not expect the big guns to shoot pea shooters. But it is what it is. And in a way, it's kind of cool for college football and the landscape this year to see so many upsets. So.
Well, I think it opens it up because otherwise it would have been, all right, college football played. Not everybody's back, and everybody could still play the, what is this season game?
Mm-hmm.
But instead, you get a few upsets, and I was like, all right, maybe chaos ensues, right? Maybe it's not the anomaly. Maybe it becomes a little more the norm and the doors open. Because, look, all the conferences coming back. Everybody's coming back now.
Mm-hmm.
When, for months, people were writing and pushing it off. It's like, no, you could wait and see how science and everything progresses. Doesn't mean it won't have its hiccups along the way, but for those that tried to kill it, write the retraction column.
Hmm.
You could say, I'm sorry. It's okay. People will move on. They'll forgive you until your next prediction gone wrong. But college football is back. I did have Leach beating LSU.
Did you have that?
Just for chaos.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Thinking LSU had lost a lot of bodies.
Mm-hmm.
New quarterback, and that Leach, like, you know, they're just going to fling it around. So it's a little bit unlike anything you've seen in the SEC.
It is.
Sure enough, there it was. I loved his postgame quotes, though. We had to schedule LSU because all these other teams were busy on Sunday, and he mentioned a number of NFL teams. You had Texas in that crazy comeback, but just fantastic altogether.
If we have the sound, I'd love to hear it.
We do. Okay.
Yeah, come on, let's hear it.
Let's hear it.
It's better than average, I'll tell you that. This stadium, there's a lot of ghosts in this stadium, and you know, and you play. We played LSU because, you know, New England, Green Bay, and the Chiefs had somebody scheduled, so we played these guys. But I'm really proud of our guys.
That's awesome.
Yeah, look, he's good for the game. Obviously, he says some crazy stuff. His love of
pirates
is fun.
Crazy stuff.
No, that's right. You know. I mean, there's
no equipment sheds, you know.
No, well, there's
take
there's,
a break, go sit in the corner in the dunce room, you know.
Well, you know, the dunce room sometimes isn't a bad thing.
The dunce cap, put your nose in the corner of the room and don't let your nose touch and stay there until we come get you.
I don't know, as a guy who as a kindergartner had his hand tied behind his back with the teacher telling him he was the devil for writing with his left hand.
Yeah,
getting put to the dunce shed might have actually been
an upgrade for you. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. Much Jeez. Better thing for me. But our business is the National Football League this
that
morning. A
true.
Lot on the table.
Yep.
And let's go back really quickly, review Thursday night football. It seemed like a spot for if Jacksonville was any good to
mm-hmm.
make their mark.
Mm-hmm.
But as you analyze the game coming into it, it was also the well, their defense isn't great, so it's the possibility of one more run for Fitzmagic, and sure enough, he became a hero and a national icon once again.
Yeah, but I'll say this. I would not expect Jacksonville to be as competitive as they've been. I just was not giving them that, and it almost appears as though they're going in the right direction. even with the results.
Well, part of it is the, all right, are you building a program and do you got guys buying in? And some of it is, could I be next in terms of the offload and where, you know, how secure am I in this? I think Gardner Minshew overall is a pretty good quarterback. I think there's some bright days ahead. On Thursday night, seemed to push it, right? Mm-hmm. The adrenaline, whatever. He played some hero ball, and maybe it was inspired by Tyler Hero and his 37 points for the Heat the night before. But there were a couple of shots he had to Conley down the sideline where he's wide open, and he overshot him by 10, 15 yards. Yeah. Not narrow misses, right, where you're two steps. I mean, we're talking airmail where the cornerback was nowhere on the screen. So clean that up. James Robinson, the fire plug, looks like he can play. But, you know, the Dolphins also with Brian Flores, I think for a lot of folks they were upset because one of the first commercial blocks field a Tua Tagovailoa ad. And if Ryan Fitzpatrick keeps playing well, he's not going to see the field for a while.
Well, there's always been that debate as to how do you handle that situation. I mean, there's nothing wrong with slow and steady. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with making sure if you can have the opportunity to be shorter. I'm hearing a lot of people saying that you can't get game experience if you don't get game reps. I never heard of someone getting better while being on the bench. I would disagree with that. You know, my perspective on it as a number two pick, if I would have had the opportunity to sit and watch and learn in the meeting room, learn in the practices, learn how they work out in the National Football League, learn, you know, pretty much everything that I need to learn coming into it before I have to go out there and perform on the field, it in the moment, it's very difficult to accept thinking that you're not good enough to get on the field and start as – and you feel the pressure of being a high draft pick when you're in those situations. But, you know, one organization, I grew up in Pittsburgh, they make a living off of bringing guys in and you don't see them for quite some time. And then they finally surface and they play and then they're really, really good. And they're really good for a really long time. And I think that there's something to be said about protecting the interest of the development of the players that you bring in. Just because we're high draft picks, they're high draft picks, doesn't necessarily mean that you have to throw them immediately into the fire and that has to be the result of them being such a high draft pick. So I commend Flores for not just – if he feels as though it's not time for Tua to go in yet and you feel confident about what Fitzpatrick can do and give Tua those mental reps and the opportunity to kind of calibrate and get, you know, ready to be the leader that he needs to be, then so be it. And I think it's interesting because – without going too crazy with it, we'll talk about this game during the show, but I feel that way about a couple different quarterbacks that are on the second string list on the depth charts, and we'll see how that all plays out.
We got a lot to get into. There's no question. You know, you spoke of Pittsburgh before we get to our first game of the day. Just that idea of continuity, consistency. And Flores had that as a member of the staff there in New England. Mm-hmm. And obviously he's sold Miami on that long-term vision, right? They give him the 5 years. They let him jettison the players that he thinks aren't long-term answers. We could disagree about, you know, a couple of them, whether you like Kenyon Drake or not, whatever, or some of the other principals involved, but they're at least taking the long form of approach. So you're not feeling like you're on a running clock, right? Yeah. That's one of the luxuries Mike Tomlin and his staff have had is Pittsburgh doesn't like to change out coaches.
That's very true. And Pittsburgh enjoys family. I always say when you look at the teams that have success, the franchises that have success, they're generally family legacy teams, mm-hmm. and or had just a tremendous legacy that's connected to the community that they're in, like a Green Bay Packers. They're owned by the fans, which is pretty cool. But, yeah, you look at teams like the Steelers. You look at teams like the Giants, even though the Giants, as of late, haven't proven to be that type of a team. There's some teams out there that you really say they, you know, the Ravens do a pretty good job of it. You know, Andy Reid is, and there's some coaches are that are like that. They give their guys the opportunity to develop. If you look at Pat Mahomes didn't play that first year. Right. And it's kind of arguably comparable to these guys right now because you're talking about a guy in Alex Smith who you said was, you know, a guy that could possibly hold on to his starting job for quite some time. Obviously, the history has been written on that now, and we saw how that all played out. But it was a matter of playing Pat Mahomes when Pat Mahomes was comfortable and ready to get in there and play. So it's still early in the season. So some of these guys that we're not seeing, especially a guy like Tua in Miami, don't be surprised or shocked if you hear and see him coming in and playing soon.
Soon enough. All right, we're going to get into the games. We got a lot of information, a lot of injuries to talk about. 19 ACLs. That's the counter up, you know, like you have days since workplace accidents in a lot of places, and you say, hey, we've celebrated 100 days, so let's have a cake.
Big names.
In the NFL, we're
big
talking.
Big name ACLs.
And we were texting back and forth a lot last Sunday going, another one. Another
yeah,
one.
Another
I had
one.
DJ Khalid was going back and forth all
one.
Day long.
Yeah.
Another one.
Yeah.
He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Mike Harmon. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios.
Another one.
There it is. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com. Get yourself a free rate quote. Coming up next, we get into the games and we start with Monday Night Football, the highly anticipated showdown. Mahomes, Jackson, and an over-under of 55. Yeah, that's pretty tasty. We'll start with that next here on Fox.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back in. It is Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon alongside the All-American, the All-Pro, Pro Bowls.
Greetings.
The man, the legend, the myth, he's LeVar Arrington, at LeVar Arrington on Twitter.
Salutations, greetings and salutations.
King of the mammals.
I take it.
On Instagram, we've got a little Paula Abdul.
Gotta love that.
As we go, we got some soccer rolling.
Was her best video with the Cheetos cat?
Oh, MC Scat Cat? Yeah, no, that's
pretty good,
strong
right?
stuff, right? Yeah, no question about it.
Paula Abdul is a pretty good entertainer. She was like the first J-Lo, right?
Pretty much, yeah. And, you know, Lakers.
Yeah, she's Laker
girl. In the blood
girl.
And everything, yeah, right? Uh-huh. We got Arsenio Hall. All of those things. As we get you rolling on a Sunday morning, look, whatever you're having this morning, making some breakfast to from virtual or real services, we appreciate you spending a few minutes of your time with us here and being part of the extended family. And without further ado, let's get into the games.
Let's go all day.
Chiefs at Ravens.
You would think this was the AFC title game here in week three, the way this is being built up. The over-under sitting at 55. Baltimore, 3.5-point favorites. I know you guys had the discussion. Speak for yourself on Fox Sports 1.
Absolutely.
That for a lot of folks, they're putting this on Lamar Jackson as essentially a must-win game to break the curse of big spotlight games and everything else. And I laugh and I go, okay, that's fine. It's not January.
Right. And it's early. And they're 2-0. So really, in theory, if you lose one game, it's not a horrible thing. But nonetheless, it is a statement game. I mean, there is a level of importance to winning a game like this, whether you're the Chiefs or the Ravens, because these are two of the more dominant, probably the top two teams in the AFC right now.
Yeah, when we look at Kansas City coming off of the game against the Chargers, and we'll get into Justin Herbert and his arrival
onto the
scene. Look good, right?
Unfortunate situation that led to his ability to show himself. But
hour two, we're going to get into that for a few minutes.
It's still,
in terms
still
of medical staffing
right.
in the National Football League. But Kansas City, it's another game. They don't have – but this is a team that doesn't have to look its best. Right, style points are all fine and good, but they find a way to win.
Kansas City has not been this mind-blowing, amazing football team thus far this year. You know, against the Houston Texans, they scored like 7 points in the first half of that game. It was something to that effect.
It was not a powerhouse.
It was not a blow. You know, they opened it up a little bit in the second half, but I'll tell you what.
You can usually do that against Bill O'Brien teams in case you haven't noticed.
Here's the thing. to that point, that Ravens defense is pretty stingy. They're pretty mean. They're physical. And so is their offense. And again, Mark Ingram doesn't want to be forgotten with the addition of J.K. Dobbins. That backfield is pretty grimy, man. Full of goonies. And it's just going to be difficult. Their tight ends, Lamar is playing at a higher level right now than what we saw him play at last year. So he's not showing any signs of getting close to a leveling off of sorts or getting close to a ceiling and what it is that we're seeing. And that's pretty, if you're a Ravens fan, that's pretty exciting to see. If you're opposing fans, AFC fans, or even NFL fans, it's exciting because of how good he's possibly going to be, but kind of nerve-wracking because your team probably won't beat them.
Yeah, even with the gaudy stats of a year ago, there was still a lot of room for improvement in the passing game, right?
Sure,
just
were.
For efficiency, and now Mark Andrews running more routes,
yeah,
right, and getting to be more than just a red zone guy. Marquise Brown will continue to grow. I'm taking Kansas City to win this game.
Well, there you go. They beat the point spread. So we're already off to a disagreeing start.
So you're taking Baltimore and you're laying the points.
Yeah. They'll beat them by more than three.
By the way, 1-900-LU with the umlaut Z, MYAZ, lose my ass. last week, 7-9, which is about what I expect.
Eesh.
No. I expect about like 500 is generally.
I'm not sure what my record was, but it was pretty solid.
I was well
over 500.
I'll go back to it.
I think it was like three or two games.
All for entertainment purposes only.
New Orleans Saints did us horribly wrong.
I got that one right, so there.
Yeah. The Vikings did me wrong.
The Vikings. Vikings did you wrong 2 weeks in a row.
The Falcons did me wrong, and I think those were my three.
Falcons.
Yeah.
We'll get into them
in just a little bit.
All right, so we're already on the other sides of this one. Because I think even if Baltimore wins, I think it's in a field goal. But I'll take KC straight up. Next!
Run them out. Let's go all day.
Cowboys at Seahawks.
Speaking of the Cowboys.
Well, here we go. The over-under has floated all the way up to 57 on this one. 4.5 or 5 is the line, depending on where you're shopping. Seattle favored. We've seen them run roughshod the first couple of weeks. From an offensive perspective, Russell Wilson, through 2 weeks, has two more incompletions than touchdown passes while vanquishing a couple of big opponents. Dallas, we know about the comeback last week. They put themselves in harm's way with a miserable open to the game, which cannot be repeated. I don't think statistically you can have the sequence that they did unless you're, maybe Cleveland or one of these other teams. But Dallas, a better team than that, and a lot popular pick for popular people this week for Dak Prescott, three rushing touchdowns, and the comeback off of the spinning top onside kick that, again, could probably never be repeated.
This game was, first of all, you got to give Dak and Coach McCarthy a ton of credit for not giving up.
Sure.
The team in general for not giving up and showing you why you continue to play through 60 minutes of a football game. But make no mistake about it, this was more about Atlanta needing to change the sheets on their bed after the end of that game versus the Dallas Cowboys. I just don't feel like the performance that we saw from Dallas, an improbable onside kick, was the catalyst in a lot of ways for them to be able to win that game. That says to me, because once you get the onside kick, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to give up the points that lead to you winning the game. And so, to me, there's a lot of questions, a lot of pressure on Atlanta, but staying focused on the Dallas Cowboys, having to go to Seattle, even though the 12th man isn't really as relevant at all at this time. I look at this Seattle Seahawks team. I look at a depleted secondary for Dallas. They're getting a little healthy, getting Diggs back in. But their starting two corners have been dinged up. I just do not see them dealing with Metcalf and dealing with Russell Wilson's pretty deep ball. It's going to be a difficult task for them if they were fully healthy anyway. And just not seeing them be as impressive as they could be with their running game, with stopping the pass rushes. I just really look at this Seattle team as being too physical and maybe too good for Dallas. But there's always that opportunity for them to show that that maybe this was a wake-up call for them. Maybe they needed a moment like they did against Atlanta to get their season jump started. But as of right now, there's nothing that says to me I should feel confident about taking Dallas over Seattle. So I'm going with the Seahawks in this game.
Seattle has lost. Pete Carroll in his time has lost one September home game. How about that?
Pretty good record.
Yeah, you're looking at Dallas. Dallas with the offensive weapons they have. Seattle's been gashed at the out of the slot two straight weeks.
Seattle isn't very good in the secondary as well. I mean,
as good as Adams is, he can't cover.
Can't do it all by himself.
He can't cover either.
Well, he can't do it all by himself
right.
either.
It is a rough go.
It could be a great setup for Dak to have a great game, but what does that mean? To what end? Are they going to be able to finish? Are they going to be able to deal with all of the other elements that you got to deal with? Because right now, I believe that Russell Wilson is on that MVP trajectory right now for his season.
I am going to take Seattle as well. I will take them to cover for fantasy purposes. Everybody plays, everybody wins, and I'm hanging a star on CeeDee Lamb, right? They had him running in the slot over the course of the preseason. I'm looking for him to make hay there today. All right, we'll continue coming up next. We've got the Rams and the Bills, but first we've got Isaac Lohenkron giving us an update
on what's going on
in the sporting universe. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Michael and LeVar. We already have some news in the NFL, and I'm happy to report that it's mostly positive.
Yes.
Ian Rappaport reporting that today's Falcons-Bears game, a full go, despite Falcons cornerback A.J. Terrell being put on the COVID-19 list yesterday. Oh. All other Falcons players and staff who were tested yesterday came back negative. Mark Maskey of the Washington Post has just reported that, in fact, all players and staff across the entire league have been cleared for duty today from testing conducted yesterday. And Kim Jones of NFL Media reports that Buffalo linebackers Tremaine Edwards and Matt Milano are expected to be active today for their game against the Rams in Buffalo.
Nice.
On Saturday night, the Los Angeles Lakers advanced to the NBA Finals for the first time in 10 years with a 117-107 Game 5 victory over Denver. LeBron James, 38 points, 16 rebounds, 10 assists. LeBron in the finals for the 10th time in his career, the 9th time in the last 10 years. In Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final Saturday night between the Tampa Bay Lightning and Dallas Stars, they went to double overtime. Lord Stanley itself waiting in the wings with the Lightning one goal away from winning it all. Here's Mike Emmerich with the finish on NBC.
Now Klingberg at the back, holds, and drives one.
So Dallas stays alive. Tampa Bay still leads the series 3-2. This report presented by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. College football Saturday night. Mississippi State won its 6th-ranked LSU 44-34. KJ Costello of Mississippi State threw for an SEC record 623 yards with 5 touchdown passes. Number 12 Miami blew out Florida State 52-10, and 8th-ranked Texas rallied from 15 down with 2:40 to play in the fourth quarter to win at Texas Tech in overtime 63-56. Michael and LeVar.
Thank you, sir. That's Isaac Lohenkron. Follow him on Twitter at Isaac Lohenkron for all the latest and greatest. He's tied in to this Chargers season. We'll pick his brain on this squad and that whole situation with the Chargers a little bit later as well. But our business here, Mike Harmon, alongside the All-American LeVar Arrington.
Hello.
It's time to get back into the games.
Okay. Wear them out. Let's go all day.
Rams at Bills.
Ram it all day. Ram it all night. Playing the ground game. Getting it done. Ground and pound.
I love this game. This is my favorite game.
Outside of the Ravens and Chiefs,
this is my favorite game I want to see.
Bills favored by 1.5 over under. 47. I think I like the under. But when we get to this, you know, Josh Allen is a guy that we've had many a person sit in the chairs here at Fox Sports Radio and declare he's an overproducing running back and has dismissed his passing acumen despite the lack of a number one in the past. Now you bring in Stephon Diggs.
Yep.
Wingspan and a guy that can go get it. On the other side, Jared Goff.
John Brown, too.
And now, John Brown, who had to serve as more of a number one last year, and that's not his role, right? Good player.
Big play guy.
Big play guy, but also helps when you've got another guy the safeties at least got to give a look to, right?
And you obviously are seeing the impact of his departure in some way.
Well, yeah, we'll get to Minnesota in a bit.
Yeah.
But we look at L.A., a couple of injuries in the backfield, Malcolm Brown and Cam Akers, so probably more Daryl Henderson, the second year back as well. One of my favorite highlights last week was Aaron Donald throwing 300-pound men around like they were rag dolls.
Did you see what he did to Ezekiel Elliott?
Yeah, it's just not fair.
He's just a different. That's a different breed of mammal right there, man. Jeez, I think I had him picked.
I believe you did.
I mean, if I didn't,
you didn't bet it.
Just think that I kept them on the list anyway.
I know. We'll say they were there. But this one's intriguing for a lot of reasons.
A lot of reasons.
I mean, both defenses strong up front.
Yep, played the run very well.
And now we're looking at who's going to be able to make a play downfield. Buffalo is to me a team everybody jumped on them, obviously for the division as soon as Tom Brady left town, and then we see what Cam and the Patriots have become. And, hang a star on them for a moment as well. But for Jared Goff, the rebound year after what was last year an unsuccessful season, even though in the expanded playoffs that we have for 2020, they would have been in. But the curiosity of how do you crack that Buffalo defense? Is it a lot of Cooper Kupp under the middle? Is it Robert Woods to the outside? How do you approach the way Buffalo plays D?
I think that the Rams have done a great job of finding the rhythm in terms of their passing attack versus their run game. And looking at just kind of their approach has been mid-range plays where they're able to utilize the seams, utilize the crossing routes, utilize the flares and the flats. The key is to spread out a team that plays the run as well as the Buffalo Bills play it, and so it's going to be a matter of can Goff find a rhythm, can these receivers find a rhythm, and will they have enough time to develop what it is that they're going to do offensively on their side of the ball. So you're going to look for this Rams defense to give them those opportunities to find that rhythm. If they find it without having the defense, have to assist in such a major way where, they're in and out, and then they finally find it. But it looks as though the balance of this Rams team has returned. They look like the team that made it to the Super Bowl and made that Super Bowl run. So I'm looking at them in a positive manner, in a positive light. Now look at how well the Bills are playing as well. But, man, I just feel really good about this Rams team right now, and I think that they're going to continue to roll. So I'm going with the Rams in this one.
Look at you, because that's where I'm leaning here. I love the Bills, and I think you got a successful season ahead. Going back to the ground game, and I think McVay got challenged to get creative again. I think they got a little predictable at times.
Well, Goff had that spotlight on his neck too,
And when you
shine that light real, real bright, you can see that target. Like, that target shows up when the light is real bright.
There's no question about it. All right, coming up next, this is a team we've referenced a couple of times. Next.
Wear them out. Let's go all day.
Titans at Vikings.
Oh, there you go.
Here we go. Ryan Tannehill. Sorry. Yep. I got Fitz and that cool shirt on the brain.
No worries.
3-point favorites on the road at Minnesota, over under a 50.5. I think Tannehill will start getting a little credit for the quarterback he's become. A guy, when we go back to what he was in Miami and the fact that he was a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those factoids. You list the 50 most commonly referred to things, kind of like Matthew Stafford went to the same high school as Clayton Kershaw. Saw everybody going through that run. That's fun. But Danielle Hunter still out and even eligible next week to come off the injured list. Probably will not. So that's left Ngakoue all alone in the front. Anthony Barr, you and I were talking off air, a guy that in Minnesota, they know his value. I don't know that the rest of the NFL watching community necessarily does. Tore a pec, he's done for the year. Tennessee with the ground and pound of Derrick Henry. They'll be missing A.J. Brown, so fantasy owners don't have that arrow in their quiver. But Tennessee playing strong football in Minnesota right now, a mess.
Tennessee is definitely vulnerable right now. They don't look to be a dog with teeth, more like dentures, and that have fallen out. And so there was no super poly grip made for canines. And Tennessee is playing. They've pretty much continued off from where they left off last year. It's ground and pound with them. But it's just something about when you're in a desperation state, and that's where the Vikings find themselves. If Michael Zimmer doesn't get a win, you got to assume that that hot seat is scorching hot after that, and you would have to think that maybe he's running the risk of not even completing the season as the head coach. Listen, I made a lot to do about George Edwards being the defensive coordinator for this Vikings team. Everyone fought me tooth and nail and said Michael Zimmer was the guy who was calling the defense. Michael Zimmer, Michael Zimmer, Michael Zimmer. Well, George Edwards is in Dallas right now, and I see nothing about Mike Zimmer's led defense without George Edwards showing any type of real fight. Now losing Anthony Barr going into this game against the type of Tennessee team that they're going to play against, I just don't see them having enough to be able to pull this out. But yet, I feel like the desperation calls for me to say that the Vikings will pull this game out. So I'm going to take the Vikings against conventional wisdom in this game.
Yeah, desperation at 0-2.
Sometimes those are the best positions to be in. I mean, you hate to be in that position, but they got to fight. And listen up, people. I called them on this one. I called them last week, and I called them the first week. If they lose this one, never expect me to pick them ever again.
We will put them on the no-fly list if that
season
were to come. If that were coming to fruition.
Ever.
Hey, you know, you mentioned Polygrip. You know, there's also a lot of pain being inflicted Minnesota, and that means get out the Blue Emu.
They might need
Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief. Hey, it works fast, and you won't stink. Pharmacists recommended odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backache, strains, sprains, or even arthritis. No stinging or burning involved. It's simple pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast, and you won't stink. Coming up next, we're going to get into the lightning round because we got to get through some games fast.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
As the headphones fall apart, time to find some duct tape, just like my legs and hammies after a week on the treadmill. Mike Harmon alongside LeVar Arrington.
All righty.
Fox Football Sunday, rolling through the games of week three, getting you prepared, the ins, the outs, quick hit stats, and leans as we go. Let's get back into the games.
Wear them out. Let's go all day.
Panthers at Chargers.
All right, 6.5 was the line that started things, and that's where it stays, even with Christian McCaffrey out, so we'll hang a star on that one. McCaffrey, one of many stars to the wayside in week two. Still got you the money as a top 10 fantasy pick last week, but he goes down. Mike Davis comes in, catches a lot of balls out of the backfield, former Seahawk, former Bear. Melvin Ingram is now out for the Chargers, the latest in a long line of injuries for them, so we still have that issue. A couple of their linemen also on the injury
report. Did they name the starting quarterback?
Well, they had to. Okay. Eventually, Justin Herbert is that man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, wow.
Yes, a lot of confusion and chaos the first 48 hours of the week. We finally
You're not
get
supposed
through.
To lose your job due to an injury.
Well,
that you had nothing to do with.
Well, but at least short term, I don't think Tyrod was going to get cleared to play this week.
Okay.
At least as
it's
been reported.
Is that what it is? He's not cleared?
At least that's how it's been reported,
okay,
right? Because we go back to the injury and
I
the
looked
sudden
around. I hadn't seen if it was a definitive deal on that. So.
Yeah, so for today, we'll get Herbert.
Well, I just don't know that you go back to Tyrod. I hate for him to lose his job this way. His ribs were injured. Doctor made a mistake. Can't be mad at that, but Herbert played so well that, you know, I'm looking at this team as does he change their trajectory immediately after experiencing that game? So I don't know. When I look at this game right now and looking at where the Chargers are and looking at where the Carolina Panthers are, this is probably the game that the doctors ordered up for Herbert to have one of those signature moments. I'm going with Chargers in this game. A McCaffrey-less Carolina's Panthers team that's already struggling can't seem to be better without him. So I'm taking the Chargers.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater, solid numbers again, but all in comeback mode. I don't know that you necessarily see that again. Over-under sitting at 44. I've got the Chargers winning this game. I'll take up the cover as well. But with Justin Herbert, you saw a different explosiveness,
you
right?
You did.
With Tyrod Taylor.
You felt a different excitement about it.
Right, with
more
Tyrod Taylor, I like the style, right? Let's not turn the ball over. Let's play good run
managed
football.
Managed well.
And do that. But you're not going to get explosive games.
No,
you're
going
to have to
win
a lot of 16-13 like you did against Cincinnati.
That's true. But either way, you still have a good backup to your starter one way or the other. So
you got a veteran that can help you push forward and know that he can steer the ship should Herbert go off the rails.
There you go.
But I think if you're Mike Williams and those guys that work downfield, you're pretty excited because you got a guy that's going to put it up.
Got that big
arm. So you've got that going.
Yep.
All right. Next, we look at the Washington football team on the road at the Cleveland Browns.
This is a very, very peculiar game, man.
I really wish there was a hook here. The line is 7.
Ugh,
Cleveland minus 7.
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman made your boy Baker Mayfield a Hall of Famer in their game and his bounce back triumphant moment over the lowly Bengals. He's heading into the Hall of Fame immediately after this Washington football team game. How could I bet against the Cleveland Browns? But I am. I am going to go against the Cleveland Browns on this one. I think Washington, after taking that spanking from the Cards last week, will bounce back in good form and get it done against the Browns.
The defensive front against Baker Mayfield is what I want to watch, right? And with that pressure up front, can you slow down Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt? Because if you can, long day for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. Right? You would think that they have enough weapons where they can spread out the Washington football team well enough to have success. We'll see. I mean, I'm sitting here talking crazy trash about, you know, Baker and the Browns. I just don't respect them at this point. I don't think that they've given me any reason to think that they can create sustained success. But you just never know. They could be as wishy-washy as how many facial looks Baker Mayfield brought to a game one day. What was it? 3 came to the stadium with one facial hair look. He went into halftime, I believe,
or
went into the game,
came
into his post-game interview with a different look as well. You know, who knows what Baker Mayfield look Browns you'll get in this game. And that's why I think I feel confident going. At least we know what we're going to get from the football team. It's good defense.
I like the way you say that, the football team. But the problem is, can they score?
Yeah, well, there you go.
So that's the thing, right?
It's a great
point.
I'll
take Cleveland to win the game, but I think Washington hangs and keeps it within 7. Again, I wish it was 7.5. I'd feel a lot better about that pick. And then maybe needing to walk another 5 miles.
That raises questions in Washington if they can't win against this team.
But this is certainly look, you're trying to change culture. You got a lot of things going on.
Both teams.
Both, right? Yeah.
Right.
And for Cleveland, you know, you're ready to say same old Browns should they drop this one. All right, last game that we'll get into this hour, the New York Football Jets on the road at the Colts. You've got Jonathan Taylor is your running back. The return of the Mac will not happen this year. Marlon Mack to the one of the many ACLs that we saw thus far. 19 in total. We'll get into that as well as more on the just injury status.
Jonathan Taylor is more than able to fill that bill.
Well, with him and Nyheim Hines, right, you got the pass catcher. Didn't have much of a role last week. The only question here, right, the spread is either 11.5 or 12, again, depending on where you're shopping. The Jets are deplorable.
Yes.
They're just not a
good
football
team. No reason to ever pick them. I mean, honestly speaking.
That line, though, is large. all it takes is one play to bust that.
Yeah.
But they're just not good. Like, even the run defense that was supposed to be their saving grace to at least keep give them a puncher's chance, they don't even have anything there.
There's no real reason to have any faith in the Jets. I'm taking the Colts.
Just take the Colts. and lay it out.
Maybe they don't cover the spread. I'm going to go with you on that. They don't cover the spread, but they definitely win this game.
Yeah, they win this game, certainly. I'm looking for the late back door being left open.
All the bettors out there said, did LeVar just say maybe they don't cover the spread?
Maybe not. Mm-hmm. Coming up next, we get back into the big injury bug and the Buccaneers and the Broncos. That's next here on Fox Football Sunday.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome in. It is hour two.
Yes.
3 hours till kickoff.
It's almost here.
Week three of your football league season. Adrenaline going. Like Jerry Jones last week where he looked like a jolt of electricity had gone through.
He was doing the lights out dad. That's Shout it. Out to Sean Merriman.
Sean Merriman should have sued him.
He was doing that lights out dance. Well, he can't sue him for getting in the spirit. That's why Sean came up with lights out.
No, but that's what I mean, though. He's trademarked.
He was in the spirit. It is trademarked.
So, you know. And Jerry's got a lot of money.
But does Jerry Jones have the light switch on his arm, though?
That's a good question.
All right. See, most of you guys
got lit up right there.
Cats may not know that Sean put a light switch on his arm, and that's when he's turning the light switch on and off when he's doing that. Like, it's not just punching the air. He's actually taking his hand and figuratively touching the light switch that's tattooed on his arm and turning it on and off.
Yeah,
whereas Jerry Jones's look more like maybe like a quick seizure.
there was a bit of
a quick seizure there, and then came back to us based off of the way they were able to pull that game out.
But what a crazy game that was!
We'll call it the lights out seizure, and now it's like copywritten for Jerry Jones.
Well, there you go. You can have an extension. Maybe he gets an exemption in terms of paying those royalties out. But one of the things besides just those big crazy events like that Atlanta-Dallas game is the number of injuries. And
so many injuries.
To me, it's a magnification because a couple years ago, it was everybody had a torn labrum. Like, that was the injury of choice.
Okay.
And then this year, it happened to be ACL. So immediately, everybody runs and the panic button gets flipped of, should we have had preseason? What is this? Is it training? Is it this?
I don't recall ever seeing this many big-name athletes tear their knees up.
Yeah, I think that's just it, right? That it comes together. We saw what happened, certainly with the San Francisco 49ers, where within three plays lose Nick Bosa and Solomon Thomas.
Man.
And the cart, I think, ran out of gas eventually, because we'll get into the 49ers later this hour. They've got so many guys on the injury list. It's amazing.
I don't know how to view them at this moment.
Well, they get to play the Giants, so maybe that'll...
And they're depleted from losing their horse.
Well, yes, we saw Saquon
Barkley. And you texted me so quickly. That leg is dragging, Var.
Well, because we saw it, because he went down with what appeared to be a shoulder injury after he tried to brace himself on a previous run.
I immediately wanted to think that it was like a cartilage tear, because they tell you, rule of thumb is if they're helping you off and you look like you're in tremendous pain, it's usually a cartilage type of deal. If you're walking or you don't seem to be, you know, too hysterical about it, it's generally your ACL. It's the weirdest thing. Like, you can walk off.
Right.
But the pain is different when you split like cartilage and stuff like that. So I was holding out hope. I didn't want to respond to you too quickly. I was holding out hope that they'd come back and say the injury wasn't too bad. But, man, that's horrible and horrible news, man.
Just awful across all the way.
Yeah, obviously. But it's a little bit more awful for me when it's Saquon.
I understand.
Yeah, just a tad bit more.
You want to hear the cat? Do we have the Penn State?
No, I don't want to hear it.
We got to inspire you. You're getting down thinking about Saquon.
It's okay. He's going to bounce back. He's quadzilla.
That is true.
You repair that knee. It's your quads that matter.
You know? Yeah. Well, the other injury.
I have no quads. They're very small.
Well, you know,
I'm wearing extra medium track pants this morning.
Yeah, don't skip leg day, buddy.
I've been doing squats. My legs just will never do that type of growth thing. So enjoy your legs, Mike.
I definitely
and Saquon,
have. That's what I got from mom. I can tell you that. The quad and
Yeah.
Ass.
Okay.
Anyway,
nucleus.
Calling it what it is.
Okay.
But the injuries all around. We talked a little bit about it in the first hour. The Tyrod Taylor injury. He was injured ribs, getting the shot. Obviously, an awkward place.
Yeah.
You get the lung punctured, and the litany of former players that came on going, you don't even know. When it comes down to medical, and you and I have talked about this on the show before, I think there's a book or a documentary series or podcast to be had for this. Unfortunately, since guys only play with a couple of teams, you're going to know who the doctors are pretty fast.
Yeah.
you know, there's not a whole lot of protecting folks once these stories get going. But I really wish I'd kind of logged all the guys that responded to "you have no idea," because I think for the general TV, radio personalities, plus the fans, there was just this giant, oh my God, how could this happen? It's like, no. There's a lot that goes on trying to put this together.
Oh, I know how close the ribs are to the lungs. And if you have bruised lungs and they're trying to shoot up your ribs to make sure that, you know, you can perform, it didn't seem like Tyrod was too irate about it from all the reports that I looked at and could gather. It seems like it was an honest mistake that could happen, an honest error. And it's just, you know, for someone like Tyrod, who has been a traveler, a journeyman, to have an opportunity to lead a team that I think is, you know, obviously personnel-wise is pretty solid, end up being out based upon that. But again, the ribs were already bruised up and banged up. They were trying to get them together, get them right. And, you know, ribs are bones, people, you know. So,
well, but like, I mean, I think is lost in this because immediately people started asking about loss.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Cartilage is a form of bone. Well, I think ribs are bones, though.
But that you started asking people immediately about lawsuits and other things. Like, you have to consent to the shot.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and in theory, you've gotten all the risks and everything.
And clearly, you knew that the syringe had to be a big syringe going into it because you saw it.
Well, exactly.
It's like when I got my knee drained, bro. You see that gauge on that dang needle there, bro. It's like, hold on. That looks like a big gulp straw. You're about to stick that where? Like, and then the noise, it goes. And then you realize how much your body is fighting gravity, pushing out against the gravity. Like, it's some of the things we have to deal with and go through. I mean, I'm sure some of you guys can relate to due to your professions. But I'll tell you what, some of the medical things that you do in order to be able to compete and play, it's kind of crazy, man.
I think we got a lot of, big conversations. Just keep a log. Chris, you're now in charge of keeping a log of all these conversations that we have to have in podcast
form. That was just the knee. Imagine hitting a rib that way.
Yeah, no, exactly. And you hear that deflation. That is exactly it. All right, let's get to our next game.
Win it out. Let's go all day.
Bucks and Broncos.
All right, for the Buccaneers, Tom Brady, 29th in terms of QBR. Everybody's saying the decline. But if Scotty Miller and or LeSean McCoy catch the would-be touchdown passes, do we look at him in a different light? The Broncos, obviously Jeff Driskel comes in place of the injured Drew Lock. Shoulder injury goes to short-term, probably long-term IR. And they beat the spread against the Steelers and made it interesting. 42.5 your total. Tampa Bay a 6.5-point favorite here. But when you look at Tom Brady and this squad, as you and I have talked about, LeVar, it's going to take a couple of weeks. You didn't get a full run. Gronkowski's not even being deployed as a receiver.
Yeah, that's correct. This is a Tampa Bay game. I just don't think that Denver is there yet. Talking about Tampa getting there with Tom Brady, I think he had a pretty good showing last week. I think Tampa Bay had a pretty good showing last week, and I think they continue to build on that, and we'll see. I mean, I thought some of the passes were a little questionable from Tom, and maybe even the strength of pushing it downfield was a tad bit questionable. But nonetheless, he made some really good plays, some really good throws, And there were some things that you could really take away from the game where you'd say Tom Brady is going to continue to build on what he's done. So I'm taking Brady and the Buccaneers.
Well, I think you take a little bit of positivity off the fact that he's willing to put it up downfield, right? Because that was a knock.
Yeah.
And, you know, keep taking
shots.
Doesn't
get down there every once in a while.
And in theory, you've got everybody on the field here.
Yeah.
Right? No Godwin last week.
Right.
Evans limited in week one. They're rounding back into shape to where you'll have the full deployment of your options as well. Denver, a veritable mash unit. I'll take Tampa minus the 6.5, even though it is a road game, altitude, all those fun things. I think this defense, the front seven, gets after Driscoll, and it's a long, long day. Next!
Run them out! Let's go all day!
Packers at Saints.
Great game.
Funny. Who, after week one, was talking about Drew Brees potentially being hindered?
A goat.
Who's that? I think that might have been me.
Scapegoat.
And then all of a sudden, week two, he doesn't have a big game against Las Vegas.
Scapegoat.
And suddenly everybody's on board this.
Is it time?
Just saying, he's just off. It's just
Taysom Hill.
Wow, you can keep the Taysom Hill thing. Guy's a tight end and gadget guy.
Is it time for Jameis Winston?
No. It really, I'm not writing him off,
no.
But week one, it was all about if they'd lost to Brady, we would have been magnifying it week one.
Okay.
Because he wasn't good week one.
Fair enough.
And that was before Michael Thomas was completely done. But because Brady and the Bucs were the story, nobody wanted to look over on the other side. And then we look last week, you get out to a big start. You don't have Michael Thomas. He's not coming back. And he's not back for this week anyway. And trying to figure out who that next player is.
Devontae Adams is out for Green Bay.
On the other side,
I love Aaron Jones. I think Aaron Jones is a fine football player out of that backfield for Green Bay. The deciding factor in this game, A-Rod. I'm not betting against A-Rod until A-Rod gives me reason to go up against him. Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes are looking at each other all in this big battle royal, and we're trying to figure out who's going to get on the ladder and who's going to go up on the ladder and go get the belt. And right now, I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers. He's looking as strong as anybody else getting onto that ladder. I'm going with Green Bay on this one.
It's really nicely done to get in the fact that there is a WWE pay-per-view.
Bam.
A little later on tonight.
There
good job
go.
By you.
Some boxing last night, too. Them twins was throwing down a little bit.
You got UFC. Yeah. I mean, everything. You had Stanley Cup Final, Game 6. No, it's going to be game 6. 3 games to 2 now. And the Lakers obviously advanced to the title round. I mean, we're going for another title. 10th finals appearance for LeBron James and company. In this one, I'm looking at Green Bay, looking at MVS, looking at Lazard, and Aaron playing with a chip on the shoulder. Now, the first 2 weeks, bum slang. We got to call it what it is, two bad teams. But you can only beat who's on the schedule, and I think they beat New Orleans even on the road.
Well, there we go.
There we have it. Coming up next, we will get into the Raiders as they travel to see Cam Newton and company, and then the Falcons the week after. Maybe we'll do a documentary about them as well. He's LeVar Arrington, the All-American. I'm Mike Harmon. Welcome in. It's Fox Football Sunday, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. So go to geico.com, get yourself a free rate quote. Coming back, Raiders, Patriots next.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome back in. It's Fox Football Sunday. Having too much fun. A lot of information starting to flow. You'll see the injury reports over the next couple hours. You'll have them leading up until kickoff, obviously. In the 9 o'clock hour, you'll have Fox NFL Sunday. All the updates coming from Jay Glazer. Next hour, Colin Cowherd, Carissa Thompson, Peter Schrager and company. They'll get you set as we finish our 2 hours here. It's never enough time.
Never enough.
Never enough time.
Never too much. Never too much. Never too much.
Nicely done. Thank getting you. The singing going.
There you go.
Voice in off, full baby. Form right now. Yeah. I'll tell you what. And you got a little Lutheran. Mm-hmm. At LeVar Arrington on Twitter, at King of the Mammals on Instagram. Find me over at Swollen Dome. Appreciate y'all hanging out with us. And without further ado, let's get back to the game.
Let's go.
Run them out. Let's go all day.
Raiders and Patriots.
Ooh. All right. This one is spicy, right? We've got the Raiders. Coming off the big win against New Orleans, opening the Allegiant Stadium, which looks like, I don't know if it's too soon, but it looks like the spaceship, the Wakandan spaceship.
Uh-huh. It's Wakandan now?
Like it's going to take off?
I thought it was the Death Star.
But you could do that too.
Either way works for me. Shouts out to obviously Wakanda and Black Panther.
Yeah, I think it was just during the daytime you see the shiny black outside, but at nighttime with all the lights, it kind of reminded me of the scene in the movie.
The private airport that you'd fly into is right next to the stadium.
There you go.
Did you notice that I said private airport?
Yeah, no, that was really nicely done there. That was a LeVar talking about being big time right there.
Oh,
and that
gosh.
Private airstrip.
That was funny.
I can't wait to experience such greatness. New England.
We're going to do it.
6.5-point favorite.
At
home
here.
Ready for this line that just can't. I just saw this on the wire.
Go ahead.
Josh Dubow or Dubow from the Associated Press at Josh Dubow, DUBOWAP. Raiders have faced a Bill Belichick defense twice with Derek Carr at quarterback. The only touchdown they scored in those games came on a fourth quarter touchdown pass to Amari Cooper in Mexico back in 2017. They were down 30-0 at the time.
Oh, garbage
Carr
time.
Averaging 4.95 yards per attempt in those games.
I will make no correlation to what happens today based off of that.
But, no Henry Ruggs.
But I will base how Cam Newton showed us that he still has some left in the tank and basically was 1 yard away from outplaying Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. In Seattle.
How fun was that? That was thrills.
I felt as though that could have even been a Super Bowl preview of what we may see. So, they're going to have to watch out for this Patriots team. And instead of getting carried away with the Ravens and the Chiefs, I do not see the Raiders, even after such a feel-good story of them beating the Saints, they're about to deal with a different animal.
And I think they get the doors blown off of here in Foxborough.
It might not be a good look for the Raiders today. I'm going to take them, and I believe they cover. I won't say they might spank them, but they will cover that point spread. I'm pretty confident on that.
I think they might spank them in this one. Vegas, no Henry Ruggs, so the deep ball, i.e. the pass interference downfield call, because let's call it what it is. Derek Carr ain't taking a lot of shots downfield. And New England will actually cover Waller. Both Waller and Jacobs are on the injury list. Both are going to play. But Waller last week, New Orleans seemed to forget he existed in their defensive packages. Right? There were a lot of times he's scraping free by himself. It's like that's the only receiver right now you had to worry about with no Michael for Derek Carr, in that game. Is a lot of scraping off, and you saw the touchdown play. Like,
it's
there's
difficult.
Nobody else.
Sometimes you can see it, but sometimes it's just very difficult. As a coach, the one thing that I continue to learn and understand at the high school level, and I'm sure it applies at college and pro as well, is that some of the most simple things that you suggest guys should do to help themselves out in the heat of the moment when it's moving so quickly, sometimes it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And those rub routes and screen routes and scrape routes, they're becoming the new trend. That's the new trend, lining guys up in that real tight set and twins, dual set receivers, and lining them close to the line of scrimmage because it gives you that RPO where you can actually run it and have blockers in place, but it also creates this interesting dynamic in how you're able to create space running your route. So give Chucky and those guys credit for the way that they're running their routes and doing things in you know, Las Vegas, because they're maximizing what they have. But it won't be enough today.
No, fun. You could see how fast my brain was working because I started to go back to analysis of Drew Brees from that game, because Jared Cook is really your only trusted downfield target with Thomas out, right?
Yeah.
So both on board New England. Next, here's one that gets interesting.
Bears and Falcons.
Atlanta, 3.5-point
pressure cooker.
Home favorite, 47-year over-under, as Isaac's been updating you at Isaac Lohengrin on Twitter, is where you find him. AJ Terrell, he is the first player to come back with a positive COVID test. Everybody else tests negative. We will have a game. We will have a contest. Julio Jones, game time decision from everything I've read, everybody I've talked to. Looks like he'll be a go, but now you start talking about how deep they are. Russell Gage coming on. Calvin Ridley is the true number one on that team at this point. That guy's a beast and just getting better. Todd Gurley, not so much. Maybe not. But we saw Atlanta give away that game last week to Dallas. Back to week one, they played Seattle. Now you got a Bears team that looks good in spurts and then looks terrible at spurts, both on the offensive and defensive sides.
Yeah.
Right? There's been no consistency for four quarters. So as a guy who, look, I'm wearing my White Sox jersey and the 312 cap representing the area code in Chicago, even with all of that, I think Atlanta beats them.
Oh.
And they cover the number.
Atlanta's living in a panic room right now, just as the Vikings are. I told you about deception coming out of people, you know, in their arcs of performance. They're living in a stage of deception right now, which makes them very vulnerable. And just to look at what the matchup presents, I think the Bears have more than enough tools. I think Trubisky is playing well enough this year for them to actually go in there and continue to keep Atlanta in this state of just, you know,
the spiral
deception.
for Dan Quinn.
Don't know that they know where they're going and how to get there, and to lose the way that they did, the way that, you know, let this past weekend against Dallas. I just don't see them righting the ship just now. So I'm going to take the Bears
Look
in this
you.
One. Yeah, I'm going to take the Bears straight up.
Yeah, the gut says they keep spiraling because we've seen this before.
It's going to be a hard one.
But, yeah, this is a difficult one. I think I'll take the Bears with the 3.5 as I saw it. Whether the downward pressure takes the 3, we'll see before kickoff. He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Mike Harmon. This is Fox Football Sunday. And reminder, Blue Emu.
Uh-oh.
Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief. Works fast. You won't stink. Pharmacists recommend odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backache, strains, sprains, even arthritis. No stinging or burning involved. Simple pain relief. So Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast. You won't stink. I've been doing a lot of demonstrative gestures during games, particularly during the injuries.
Because you're sore.
And I'm not
sore. Feeling good. And you don't stink. So when you're waving yourself around, you know, nobody's sitting there offended by you.
Well, that's the key. I aim not to offend. Well, sometimes hot take nonsense. Maybe I do. LeVar Arrington with me. I'm Mike Harmon. We've got a few more games to get to. But first, we've got Isaac Lohengrin, who's going to give us everything happening in our sporting universe. What's going on, buddy?
A lot going on in the National Football League, Michael and LeVar, as we're now 2.5 hours away from kicking off the early games. Ian Rappaport reporting that today's Falcons-Bears game, a full go. That's despite Falcons cornerback A.J. Terrell having been put on the COVID-19 list yesterday. All other Falcons players and staff who were tested yesterday came back negative. Rappaport added that contact tracers found that none of Terrell's teammates had registered as being in close contact with Terrell, which led to a gentleman named Mike Tanier of an outfit called Pro Football Network to tweet, quote, contact tracers also determined that no Falcons defender has come within 6 feet of anyone since 2017.
Boom. That's pretty funny. Guess what I saw? No Falcons defenders near a receiver.
Beep, 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 beep. Don't have to worry about that. Anywho,
oh, that's funny.
Mark Maskey of the Washington Post reports that all players and staff across the entire NFL have been cleared for duty today from the testing that was conducted yesterday. Kim Jones of NFL Media reports Buffalo Bills linebackers Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano expected to be active today against the Rams. In Game 5 of the NBA's Western Conference Finals Saturday night, the Los Angeles Lakers advanced to the NBA Finals for the first time in 10 years with a 117-107 victory over Denver to take the series 4-1. LeBron James, 38 points, 16 rebounds, 10 assists for the 10th NBA Finals appearance of his career, his 9th in the last 10 years. Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals Saturday night between the Tampa Bay Lightning and Dallas Stars went to double overtime, with the Lightning needing a goal to win the Stanley Cup for the second time in franchise history. Here's Mike Emmerich with the finish on NBC.
Now Klingberg at the back, holds, and drives one, and that rebound right around in front of Perry. That's Emmerich. They score! The Stars win in double overtime.
So Dallas stays alive, but Tampa Bay still leads the series 3-2. Finally, in college football Saturday night, Mississippi State won its 6th-ranked LSU 44-34 as Mississippi State quarterback K.J. Costello threw for an SEC record 623 yards with 5 touchdown passes. Oh. Michael and LeVar.
Thank you, Ilo. For more, at Isaac Lohenkron on Twitter. Keep it locked here on Fox Sports Radio for all the latest updates, injury news, and notes as we get towards kickoff, who's in, who's out, as you always have a couple of times during Fox NFL Sunday with Jay Glazer. He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Mike Harmon.
Yep,
buddy, we still got a couple more games to power
buddy.
Through.
Come
so
on,
let's get back
through.
At it.
Wear them out. Let's go all day.
Texans and Steelers.
Steelers.
Desperation continues.
No analysis needed.
Pittsburgh minus 446. Is that we're just
ready to move on? Steelers.
James Conner moving well, running the ball.
There you go.
LeVar called for it. Yeah, I'll take the Steelers and I'll move on
too. Steelers. Time to move on. Here we go.
Let's go all day.
Bengals at Eagles.
Joe Burrow, 61 pass attempts, working on the move against Cleveland. They had the L, but he gained a lot of love from people for the effort. We look at Higgins starting to find himself a role, the rookie receiver. A.J. Green had 13 targets, not moving quite like the A.J. Green that we remember coming off the injury, but opportunity is there. Yeah, you're proud of yourself, too. Meanwhile,
you want
Eagles,
me to double down on it?
No, that was fantastic.
Finish.
You want to do it again and hit the stinger again?
Hey, listen. Like my man Dion said, Coach Prime, shots out on getting that Jackson State job. Ain't nobody care about this game.
How great was that,
Philadelphia,
though? That marching band?
Oh, awesome.
Oh, that whole thing?
Philly wins this game. No analysis needed from me.
Yeah, Philly, despite all the people calling for Carson Wentz.
Ain't nobody care about this goddamn dang. Who care about this game? Tell me who care about this game.
Fantasy owners and gamblers.
Ain't nobody care.
All right. More Miles Sanders, more of the
yes,
tight ends
indeed.
Of Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert.
Fly,
they
Eagles,
get it
fly.
Done. I think this is a bit of a get-right game, and Peterson certainly feeling
it. A get-right game. This is one of them doctor prescription
games. Well, but
that's
games. It, at least for
get
a moment.
Get healthy game.
Get healthy,
yeah.
Get a win, get them on, get them over, get them in.
Get them out.
Because they got punked last week by the Rams.
Yes,
Sean McVay got creative, and that was the end of that. All right, next.
Wear them out. Let's go all day.
Lions at Cardinals.
No, wait, hold on before. Now, the next button came from our guy Chris Perfett, Pride of Detroit,
he wanted to
Detroit
move
Lions
on.
Guy. He doesn't even want to talk about this.
He wanted to move us
Kenny
on so
Galladay
quick.
May be back on the field for the first time this year. All the excitement around that. He's like, to hell with it, move to the next Chris. Game. Chris, would you like the floor for a couple seconds here?
All that really needs to be said right there.
Let's at least give a little bit of love to the Cardinals for what they are right now.
My
Kyler Murray, I think folks who were not sold on him after his rookie year, there were still some skeptics out there.
They said the kid looks faster than what he did last year.
Right, we're seeing him go through his progressions
fast.
No Christian Kirk. If you're looking for one of those deep DFS plays, Isabella steps in for him. So maybe there's an opportunity there against this Detroit secondary. But Kenyon Drake in the backfield, I love that he told fantasy owners to beat it last week. Had 100 total yards, but didn't find the end zone. So people are salty. But DeAndre Hopkins, you should just put the old college buckets box and one on him at this point.
Arizona Cardinals.
You're just moving on.
Arizona Cardinals.
All right. I get it.
Ain't nobody care about no
Anybody
Detroit Lions.
I care about that. I get it. Arizona minus six. 56 is the over-under, so we do expect some points. So Stafford could be your play, but just be careful of the turnovers. Galladay, we'll wait till game
job,
time.
Mike. Great
job. I'm just calling it what it is.
Great
we got to give it a little bit of love.
You want my analysis from you want yeah, my
no,
analysis
I don't.
For
that,
Detroit?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Here's my analysis for Detroit.
Run them out. Let's go all day.
49ers and Giants.
Now that's how you make up ground when you're feeling like you're behind in games.
Oh my
what a bunch
gosh.
Of bunko games at the back end. All right, we got 49. How about this? 49ers,
no
3.5.
I really could do this again.
I'm not letting you because this goes back to the largesse of injuries and the 49ers.
Yes.
Because, look, -3.5. On the road at the Giants, 43 is your over-under. They're back on the same turf that claimed half their team.
Oh, man, this is actually going to be an interesting game because you have to figure out where the 49ers are going to go. And if they can't have an impressive victory, even with all of the injuries they've suffered against this banged-up, vulnerable and exposed New York Giants team. Again, you had the biggest loss of what you could possibly have for your season and losing Saquon Barkley. He had the quads to carry your hopes and your dreams of possibly turning the season into something. They looked competitive at times. It didn't seem as though they weren't competitive in their losses, but nonetheless, now you lose somebody who was a super bright spot for you, and you're left to try to figure out how to pick the pieces up. I don't see the Giants being that competitive, so what will the Niners do with their vulnerabilities of losing their star worth on the other side of the ball? There are other big-time players along that defensive front. They still have some big-time players in the linebacking core. The defense can overcome losing Bosa, but we do know that obviously quarterback got hurt, right? So
Garoppolo's out, so we have Nick Mullins in again.
So what are they going to do? And that's going to be interesting to see because we've always talked about the daunting running attack that Shanahan has been able to establish based upon his knowledge from his dad's offenses. We'll see today. I'm taking the Niners, but it'll be interesting to see if there's any style points connected to it.
No Garoppolo, no Mostert. Had his 80-yard touchdown run.
They're vulnerable.
And then he was done quickly. Kittle out for this one. So Jordan Reed owners, if you need to, fire it up because Nick Mullins probably working short and intermediate because, well, you don't have much in the receiving game right now. They were already thin at wide receiver.
Debo already fighting through.
Yeah, Debo got to get that foot right. Greenlaw, fantastic linebacker in his second year. He is out. He's got a quad issue. D Ford is out. I mean, just go on down the line. So that being said, Giants are not very good. Devontae Freeman signed off the street, is expected to take pretty heavy reps. That tells you what they think about the rest of that running back core.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones, known to give the ball away a couple of times. You got Darius Slayton, solid wide receiver. You got Evan Engram, the tight end. I'm going to go on a wing and a prayer and say a desperation game that somehow they pull this out. I have no idea how it looks.
Who?
It's going to be ugly. Yeah, no, I'll take the Giants.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Okay. I like that.
I'm just stepping out.
You like working out. That's all. You're trying to catch up.
I do. I got another. Well, I mean, you're all lean and mean. I got to catch up, man.
I've been working, man, in silence. I don't want nobody to know until you know.
So some giant reveal.
It's plate-taking time.
See, I'm just trying to make it a – here's you know, the non – you know, king of the mammals here.
Okay, yeah.
That's trying to become, you know, somewhat of a force.
Okay.
And people can see the transformation. Look, okay. I don't have any big sponsorships. I don't have any big TV
deals.
We're
going to get some.
I'm not showing up on a ranch, or any of those TV things.
That's all right. We're going to work
it. But people are going to see the sweat.
Yeah.
They're going to have a few laughs at my expense for picks gone wrong. And we're going to get swole.
It's called plate-taking season.
And that's the bottom line.
I told everybody, I said, look, when you're good, you can sneak up and get something to eat. When you're great, you just show up. They know you're showing up, and you take their plate.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
He's LeVar Arrington.
Plate-taking season, baby.
That's right. The all-pro, the all-American.
I think
all-American.
The Niners going to take the Giants' plate, though.
I know. Okay. I know you do, buddy. We got to disagree here.
But I don't think that makes them great. But
No, the bottom line is I just don't know what to expect from them.
Okay.
And they're
I don't know what to expect from either one of those teams.
No.
So it'd be interesting to
and
see.
That's the beauty of the NFL.
Yeah.
Through two games, there's still a lot of identity seeking going on.
I got you.
Desperation in a lot of spots.
Yep.
And a guy like Joe Judge trying to show that they are turning the corner.
Mm.
So that's because you got the young quarterbacks under fire, right? We skipped past a lot of Sam Darnold analysis. He made a couple of great throws, but they were already down big because he didn't play well early. So what does it all mean?
Mm-hmm.
That athletically he can make the play, but situationally, is it the team? Is it him? Is it both? We'll continue to find out, and that's the beauty of being in this spot. You and I will be talking about it as this season plays out. Having some fun with you. Coming up next, we've got our Mammals of the Week, our Fantasy Ninjas.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, remember the 80s?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
That was nicely done.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, now you're thinking about the video?
Of course.
You're dancing along. Hopefully you're dancing wherever you are, getting ready for week three of the National Football League season. We appreciate you spending a few minutes of your time with us today. Really, we know you've got a lot of entertainment options and information options. We aspire to be your go-to each and every Sunday. LeVar
walk
and I are here.
Walk like a Mike Harmon.
Well, you walk proud.
A swollen dome.
Walk hard like
big
Dewey
quads,
Cox.
Like cracking the concrete tight wall.
Well, that's the bottom line.
Oh!
Yeah.
The long road on the road to Swole. We our picks over the course of the day. You can find fantasy information. I'll sit around, do a little sit-start work for you at Swollen Dome on Twitter. But also, you can download the podcast, I Want Your Flex.
Mm.
Start thinking about the George Michael song.
All your
minds out there, if you know the song, you just smiled a little bit while you're drinking your coffee. Raise it up. We made it to another big Sunday in the NFL, and just excitement, right? Take the positivity. Take all these wins, all these sports you're getting to watch, the congregation coming together of everything. I mean, think about it. We got the NBA Finals coming up, Major League Baseball playoffs, Stanley Cup Finals still in effect. We had a full slate of college football with more conferences coming online here. Everybody's coming back, even the return of the Mac.
That's right.
So we got that coming, too. Not to mention our National Football League, obviously, combat sports and everything else in full effect, soccer. I mean, it's just it's a good time, right? So let's get that momentum. Let's keep it flowing, and let's find some positivity.
Okay.
One win, just want to mention it really quick because it's a note coming out of one of the games is that in that Washington game, we've got on both sides of the ball, we've got female coaches and we've got a female official in that game. So we're talking about some NFL history being made here today. But also, you like to find your power players.
Yeah,
as you roll through. The Mammals of the Week. The guys looking strong, guys in prime position, guys ready to dominate week three.
Yeah, let's start off with my man Cam. He's going to be at home. He showed us a whole lot about what he's got a whole lot of, and that's some game left. So take Cam versus the Raiders. I think this is an intriguing matchup, but I believe he's going to do very well against this Raiders team. So I would take him. Chris Henry against this Vikings team. I think that, excuse me.
Derrick
Henry. I always love saying Chris Henry.
Respect.
Rest easy. Derrick Henry. There's so many Henrys. There's Travis. There's Chris.
That's
true. All right. Anyways, Derrick Henry. Take Derrick Henry in this game. He should have a big game running the ball against the Vikings. They'll give him a healthy dose, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And if you're going to jump on a defense to make all Mammal this week,
boom,
take those Colts. I think the Colts they got one of the most impressive linebackers in the game right now going, and they're playing the Jets. So look for them to be able to dominate this game. So go Henry, Newton, and the Colts. Those are going to be my mammal picks of the week.
Look at you, getting the Colts back in. Big opportunity here, certainly for them this week against the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wanted to leave you a little bit of time.
No, man. I appreciate you. I mean, you know, you can always filibuster. It's all good.
Yeah.
Seeing as you got good at getting that stinger hit. I mean, I thought Chris's finger was stuck
was really
on
funny.
The stinger.
Well,
there
I mean, the picks, the game matchups were stinger hit games.
No,
right?
they certainly were.
Okay,
we get them on, get them over, get them in, as it were. You got the Colts linebackers.
Get them at it.
Exactly. All right, let's get into some of the fantasy ninjas of the week. And the first one I'm going to give is going to be your Geico fantasy play of the day. Hey, did you know that right now Geico's offering an extra 15% on credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit Geico.com to learn more. The Geico fantasy play of the day, Justin Herbert. That's right, Rook. Go get it. Going up against Carolina, 6.5-point favorites in this one. Full deployment of his wide receivers. They're all healthy right now.
Mm.
We've got guys hurt all across the league, but you got Austin Eckler. You got Joshua Kelly. You got out of the backfield. Going to make some noise there against Carolina. But Allen, Williams, Henry, too much for that Carolina defense. Also, Devin Singletary. While we may have both picked against the Bills outright,
okay.
Devin Singletary against that front, how do you release some of that pressure?
How do you?
Well, you get the running back out of the backfield,
okay,
right?
Okay,
so
right.
You hit him with some passes. So in your PPR league, may not add up to a lot of yak, but it's going to add up to some receptions. We got MVS, right? Valdez Scantling going up for the Packers. And the combination of Adam Humphries and Ryan Tannehill. Let's get after it today. It is time. Yes, week three of your National Football League. He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Mike Garvin.
Enjoy
I want to thank you for
games.
Hanging with us for 2 hours. We'll do it again next week.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.